Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, freedom, justice, wellness, health, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. You'll hear an introductory to Thrive Alive Vegan Fest in Kansas. One of the performers, Mike Love, this is his song, Humble. Thrive Alive Vegan Fest, the inaugural Thrive Alive Vegan Fest. On September 18th to the 22nd, 2025, in Kansas. Here's a little bit of information about the co-creators of Thrive Alive Vegan Fest. Serena was born and raised vegan in Kansas, which taught her at a young age how to think for herself and align her actions with her values, even when it's unpopular. Aaron is the other co-creator of Thrive Alive Vegan Fest. She is the heart and soul behind Whoop Life. After 9 years of sobriety, Aaron made a bold move to leave her career and launch a sober party business, and that's how Whoop Life was born. She's been vegan for over 15 years. That awakening changed everything and inspired Aaron a lifelong commitment to compassion, health, and conscious living. One can learn more about Thrive Alive Vegan Fest at thrivealivefest.com. Serena Farb will be joining us on Vegan Nation this summer for an interview to tell us all the details about Thrive Alive Vegan Fest happening in September 2025 in Kansas. The next announcement that I would like to share is Vegan Iceland, July 2026. And this is being organized by Mike's Vegan Adventures. That's Mike Weinberg. He's organized several vegan adventures over the years, and one can hear his Vegan Nation interview in the archives at vegansradio.com. And so the information I have on the Vegan Iceland is that pre-vegan companions are welcome, provided they eat where vegan during the trip. Mike's goal is to find compatible travel companies and companions while demonstrating that a vegan lifestyle can be fun and adventurous. He's based in San Diego, California. He's still formulating the itinerary for Vegan Iceland, July 2026. For those who choose to participate in the hiking option on the trip, should have foul weather gear, shoes, and sleeping bags or quilts, all vegan, of course, no down, wool, silk, leather, etc., since a big part of why Mike is organizing these trips is to demonstrate what is possible with a vegan lifestyle. Interested folk can learn more about past and future adventures at maxlearning.net, Mike's Vegan Adventures. That's Mike Weinberg, Weinberg. I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. You're listening to Humble by Mike Love. You're focused, never gonna manifest unless you realize your fault. And for goodness sake, never make your head too big, you topple and fall. Cause useless, ugly slips against the word of the Almighty Jah. You're never gonna break the speed with the Rasta. Hey, cause never, never know, never, never see Mount Zion, never, never, never reach. But the chosen never choose when Jah Jah used them unto. I'm For the rest of the program, I'm going to be sharing the holistic perspective of veganism, that authentic veganism, animal liberation, is necessary in order to create harmony and peace and safety in the human arena for children, women, and men. So I'd like to share this recording, and this is from vegan psychologist Claire Mann and a panel that she organized in 2023. It's called The Sound of Freedom and the Roots of Violence. This is an edited, shortened version of The Sound of Freedom and the Roots of Violence.
Hi there, I'm Claire Mann, psychologist, existential psychotherapist, and author. And I've been a psychologist for over 30 years, working in psychiatry, homicide, and private practice. I'd like to think that in those 30 years where I've worked, I've kind of seen it all. But every year I come across other forms of abuse that frankly shock me. So I reached out to my colleague and friend, Dr. Will Tuttle, who has spent his whole career looking at the interconnectedness of violence and exploitation in our society. So we approached two other colleagues who themselves have spent their whole careers focusing and trying to uncover the hidden roots of social violence, much of which is hidden in plain sight. So we decided with this knowledge, we hold the key to the solutions. Because if we focus on trying to uncover and overcome certain forms of violence, and yet we're unwittingly playing a part in others, we will never have peace, freedom, and liberation. So today I'm joined by Dr. Will Tuttle, Dr. Amity May, and Douglas Leith, each experts in their fields. And what we're going to do is to examine those interconnections between the child trafficking and other forms of abuse. And most importantly, what can we do about this? So firstly, I'd like to introduce Dr. Will Tuttle. He's a visionary author of the international bestseller, The World Peace Diet. This has been translated into 17 different languages, and he's also the recipient of the Courage of Conscience Award and the Empty Cages Prize. He's the author of several other books on spirituality, intuition, and social justice, including his upcoming book, Food for Freedom. He's a creator of online wellness and advocacy programs, a vegan since 1980, and a former Zen monk. He's also featured in a number of documentaries and films. He's frequently seen on radio, television, and online trainings. So Will, welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to join with you, Claire, and with Dr. Amity May and with Doug to really deepen our understanding of what are the hidden roots of this terrible problem. Why is it that people crave to abuse children sexually, for example? Why is pedophilia such a huge thing? Why is the trafficking of children such a huge thing? Unfortunately, it's not just the sexual abuse of children, but really even beyond that, the snuff films that are using children, like we do with animals. So I think the underlying principle in all of this is what I refer to in the World Peace Diet as the boomerang effect, which is basically whatever we sow in our relationships comes back to us. If we sow it, so we have relationships not only with other human beings, but also with animals. And as everyone knows, we're abusing millions, literally billions of animals actually every single day. And these animals are all killed and sexually abused as children in human terms, right? So if you just look, for example, at veal calves on dairies, they're killed right off the bat at between 1 and 12 weeks old. They're killed for veal. These cows are killed for veal. Very often they're just killed because there's too many cows. But we're killing animals at a very young age. I mean, male chickens in egg operations are killed at 1 day old. They're just killed immediately. But all these animals are killed very young. Chickens are killed at only 6 weeks. That's 42 days. And it's true for the other animals too. Turkeys about 10 to 17 weeks. Pigs are just a little bit longer. Goats are about the same. Goats are actually 12 to 20 weeks. Pigs are 5 to 6 months, and lambs are maybe 4 to 12 months. So before they're a year old, they're already killed, and they're given drugs typically to make them grow more quickly, so they don't have to feed them as much to get them as large as possible, as quickly as possible. So the whole thing is about the exploitation, not only of animals, but of infant and child animals. The oldest ones, I mean, beef cattle only 18 months, maybe dairy cows, even dairy cows it's about 5 years old, even though cows would live a full 25 years. So we have to understand that the animal agriculture industry is based on the sexual abuse of very young animals. These animals are impregnated against their will as mere children, in human terms, in order to give babies who are then killed, or to give milk, because that's after the babies are stolen, then they're giving milk. So this is the sexual abuse of little tiny animals, and we're doing that millions of times a day as a society. We're planting that, those seeds. And this is the main teaching. As you mentioned, I taught college courses in comparative religion. And if we look at the world religions, they all agree on the basic teaching, which is whatever you sow, so shall you reap. So if you're going to be sowing broccoli seeds, don't expect to get carrots or onions. We're going to get broccoli. So if we're sowing the seeds of child sexual abuse by the millions every single day, and not only causing that in the sense that we take out our wallets and we pay for it when we go to the restaurant or we go to the grocery store, we turn around and eat it. We actually eat what we're doing. We eat the energy and the reality of child sexual abuse on a massive scale. These ripples radiate out into our entire world, our human world of food and relationships. And we pretend it has no consequence, that it doesn't matter, like they're just animals. And yet anyone who has a companion animal, like a dog or a cat, knows that these are beings who have interests that are as important to them as my interests are to me, and that they're capable of suffering the same way we are. So I think it's important for our society to understand that the only way ultimately that we'll be able to solve these problems with trafficking of human beings, whether they're children or adults, is to stop the trafficking of animals, because it comes out of that. What I realized in my research for the World Peace Diet, and even more so for the new book, The Food for Freedom, is whatever we do to animals, we always eventually do to each other. It's a small step from owning an animal as property for food to owning human beings and enslaving them, from exploiting animals to exploiting human beings. So the whole system is based basically on turning beings into objects, not only animals, but also human beings. So if we are going to insist on turning animals into objects, we're going to basically see the same thing happening to us, and we'll find ourselves being turned into objects. And children, of course, are especially vulnerable in this. So that's the main point I want to make. I just want to say one more quick thing, because I don't want to go on too long here. But the whole idea also is that there's a biological and somewhat chemical reality to this. And it's pretty well known that there's adrenaline is being excreted by animals, by all of us, by humans too, if we're under stress and really afraid. Then adrenaline kicks in to help us run faster and escape and so forth. So for example, a gazelle, as she's running to escape a lion, has a lot of adrenaline flowing. And when the lion, if the lion actually catches the gazelle and starts to tear into her flesh, the adrenaline is oxidized into what's called adrenochrome. And people are, in many ways, I think unwittingly, partaking of adrenochrome, or at least an industry that is causing the same kind of terror and violence of torturing animals to death, literally. They have to be hung upside down and die by bleeding out. So it's the worst, most violent way to kill, and most painful way to kill an animal, is by forcing them to be bled out. And this is happening by the millions of every day. And so we have to really understand that what we're doing as human beings is extremely hideous. And yet we pretend that it has no consequences. And yet we see children paying the price for this. And we see really that we're all paying the price for this. And the underlying attitude is that we are more important and we matter. And these animals were given to us. We have many rationales that we use, either religious or scientific or cultural, to justify it. We need the protein, we need the calcium. There's a whole bunch of those. But when you really look at the reality, here I am, 43 years vegan, and there's millions of people like me that are thriving. So we don't actually need to. But the attitude of human supremacy is what really allows this just behavior to continue. It's pretty much like Voltaire said, if we believe absurdities, we'll commit atrocities.
Thank you, Will. Really appreciate that.
You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. I'm sharing a snippet of a recorded interview panel by vegan psychologist Claire Mann. We'll be taking a short break, and then I'll continue with the recording of The Sound of Freedom and The Roots of Violence. Welcome back from the break, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, Massachusetts. Here's vegan psychologist Claire Mann from her recording back in 2023 of a panel that she organized, The Sound of Freedom and the Roots of Violence. Much thanks to Claire Mann for sharing this recording.
Thank you. So in the interest of us keeping this quite short, let me introduce Dr. Almighty May. She's been an integrative house call veterinarian for over 18 years. She was originally raised vegetarian and has been a vegan advocate for over 24 years. In 2014, she was awarded the Henry Spira Grassroots Animal Activist Award at the National Animal Rights Conference in the USA. And she's an active member of Vegan Toastmasters. She's been there for 14 years, and she served as president for four of them. She also founded a non-profit organization called the Veterinary Association for the Protection of Animals to provide education about the benefits of a vegan lifestyle through hosting documentary screening events where plant-based catering was provided. Now, since 2015, she's been an advocate also for medical freedom and bodily autonomy of adults and children, to be free of the pharmaceutical interventions, including vaccinations. Almighty, welcome.
Thank you, Claire, for having me on this interview today. And it's an incredibly important topic that we're discussing. We just had an event here in Prescott, Arizona, a few nights ago to raise funds to support survivors of human trafficking, which was a great turnout. We had a couple hundred attendees, and I was one of the sponsors. So I'm really heartened to be able to be part of this conversation today.
Thank you. What are some of the parallels between the plight of children subjected to abuse in child trafficking rings and the predicament that befalls non-human animals exploited and slaughtered for food?
Just like animals, children are vulnerable. They are at the mercy of those who have more power, human adults, and we have an obligation to protect these children and the animals who are both at our mercy. There's also a lot of brutality against animals, as well as abuse of children, which occurs behind closed doors, out of view. It's often hard to find evidence and footage because it's not something that people are made readily aware of. And then people like us who are animal advocates or children's advocates often are labeled as extremists or conspiracy theorists for disclosing the realities of what these vulnerable victims are being victimized as. And yet this is going on and it's not getting the attention that it needs because there's a lot of profit being made off of their suffering. So it's really up to us to bring this message out to the public, make it be commonly known that this is a crisis that needs our attention and needs to be brought into the light of the public eye.
Thank you. So what do you think these injustices against the human and non-human infants have to do with what many are calling the medical tyranny that has ensued sort of pre, during, and now post the COVID era?
Yes, absolutely. A very good question. I mean, during the last 3+ years, we've seen our personal liberties robbed, our ability to have bodily autonomy taken away through forced vaccinations, forced testing, and actually lack of informed consent. And the whole lockdown is part of a broader tyrannical agenda to rob us of our liberties as humans that we should be entitled to, that we are also being subjected to restriction of our movement. Animals are restricted in their movement, of course, in a much more severe way on factory farms. But now we are seeing these 15-minute cities popping up where people are not allowed to go outside a 15-minute radius without certain documentation or potentially penalties being issued. And this is the new direction that the World Economic Forum and Great Reset, quote unquote, Great Reset folks are trying to push upon humanity.
Thank you for raising, you know, what so many people want to have these debates and these discussions, and yet they're inconvenient truths, aren't they? And if anybody watching this has seen the film Dominion, Joaquin Phoenix says on there, he says, we take away their freedom, we take away their babies, and we take away their lives. Now, we have seen that over the COVID era, of course. And of course, again, so many people are resistant to this, I think, because of what you're saying, Will, is the wanting to conform, to comply, to move on. And these are very shocking truths, aren't they? What you've just raised here, Almighty, is people don't want to know this. We don't want to be aware of. And so I really encourage people, as we all do, is to get closer to this, because to solve the problems, and we're going to be looking at some solutions a little bit later, because if we continue to focus on one area and think all this is happening randomly without a hand that is trying to move us in that direction, I don't think we're going to find the solutions. So thank you, Almighty. What I would like to introduce now, of course, is Douglas Leith. Doug has been involved with animal rights for over 30 years, a journey which started with him seeing a film on vivisection and animal testing. Now, whilst this has led him to take action in all forms of abuse against all animals, he's mainly focused on vivisection. And he's really seen in Australia, certainly, as he's one of the experts in this and alternative ways of finding more healthy ways for us to live. He continues to organise demonstrations, has spoken at numerous forums, including World Vegan Day in Australia, which was one of the largest vegan festivals worldwide, ICAS Oceania, which is the International Competitions and Assessment Board for Schools, Bond, Macquarie, and other major Australian universities. Now, he regularly raises funds to examine and show the plight of animals in these heinous laboratories, including cycling from Melbourne to Adelaide, which anyone in Australia would know is a very long way. And he also contributes to Melbourne Save Animals in Laboratories, Stop Animal Testing Australia, and in other groups. He's also a member of Mensa, and he has a BA in Sociology. Now, he has put out a challenge to all vivisectors or anyone in the world to engage in a live, recorded public debate on vivisection. And we can say that this has not yet been taken up by anybody. That challenge still exists. So, Doug, thank you for your work. And how is the plight of children in child trafficking similar to what you're seeing over the past 30, 40 years in laboratories?
Thanks, Claire. Some's already been touched on. Those parallels in regards specifically to animal experimentation are that it's out of sight and out of mind. As we know, for those who've watched Sound of Freedom, the children are often killed, they don't end up being rehomed, they're adopted out. And if they were, of course, they'd tell their story, and that would be a very big problem for the abusers. But it's actually very similar with animal experiments. A lot of these animals can be rehomed, but they don't. They're nearly all killed. It would be lucky if one in 10,000 gets out. And I think it's for the same reasons. If they were rehomed, conversations would occur. And the numbers may be similar too. Over 100 million animals are killed, and that's a conservative estimate. It's hard to get the accurate stats. The suffering is also another parallel. I mean, even without the actual cutting and the experiments, just the isolation and being removed from family members is in itself a psychological torture, let alone what occurs after it.
Yeah.
If people are aware that they're funding animal experiments, they can tell those charities, I'm not going to fund you anymore because you do animal experiments. When there's no, there's a financial incentive for animal experiments to stop, I think that is the only thing that will stop that.
Yeah.
But we can do it.
Yeah.
People may not be aware that when they donate money to a charity, that they're usually, and that is a medical research charity, that they're usually funding animal experiments.
When we feel we've been duped and lied to about what we put into our bodies, either through medications or the food we eat, it also empowers us, doesn't it, to actually, we can actually make those changes in ourselves. So, Will, could you share some solutions and then just leave us, and as we come to the end of this, with some hope for the future?
Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks, Doug and Almighty and Claire. for all this. I really love what Doug was just saying too, just to say one more thing, because you know, the whole underlying idea, it kind of comes back to the boomerang effect. We have this delusion that we can somehow be healthy by inflicting disease and misery and terror and despair on millions of animals who are vivisected. And we don't realize that as we make them sick and destroy their health, that we have more diseases, more serious diseases. The whole so-called science that we've been told to trust is really the same kind of science that is exploiting animals. I mean, ask these animals if their lives are any better because of so-called science and technology. It's really a way of dominating and exploiting them. And I think what Doug is pointing out here is really important, that when we see animals as objects to be used, whether it actually is for experimentation or entertainment, or especially in our society, of course, for food, then we sow the seeds for the same enslavement to happen to ourselves. And so the solutions are, first of all, to liberate animals. I mean, that's like the most important thing we can do, is to liberate animals. Each one of us in our own way can contribute to that. We can stop taking in our wallet and paying for pharmaceuticals that are tested on animals, and products tested on animals, and foods that come from animals, and entertainment that abuses animals. That's liberating animals is something we can all get involved with, and we can educate our friends and neighbors and relatives and put on cooking classes and veg fests or whatever we can do to help educate people that as long as we are enslaving animals, we're going to be basically enslaving ourselves, sowing the seeds for our own enslavement. So I think those are the main things. And then just sharing these ideas with other people and rejecting the fear and the deception that is being spewed, and creating truth, speaking our own truth and having courage, because no matter how you look at it, we only have a few decades on this earth. So we might as well live them to the best of our ability as an adventure of exploration, of loving kindness and caring, and to co-create together with like-minded people a world of kindness and caring where no being is trafficked, no being is exploited. And it starts really, I think, with those who are most vulnerable, who are animals, animal children, and children. All of them are the most vulnerable. So we're really here to raise awareness about that. Thank you so much, everyone, Claire and Armighty and Doug, and all of you who are watching this, for doing your best to help make this a new reality for our species. Thank you very much.
Thank you indeed to everybody. And we encourage people to share this, to have the conversations that matter, to look a little deeper at the issues that we've raised today. But also, I think we've been left with a very positive note, is we are the ones we've been waiting for, actually. And we need to take action, speak out. You know, being popular is only a very temporary thing. Living this life where you felt you lived in integrity with yourself, that's a life worth living.
Dance of Light is the piano music we're hearing by Will Tuttle. And it is vegan psychologist Claire Meehan who included this song within her recording of The Sound of Freedom and the Roots of Violence. Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day.